Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, starting the month of February with a focus on Black History Month. With the Olympics underway in Beijing, World War II veteran Robert Hammond would remind you that when the Summer Games were in Los Angeles in 1984, he was in charge of food safety for the entire Olympic endeavor. But 4 decades earlier, he was a Navy corpsman sent to Munford Point, North Carolina, to train alongside Marines, with whom he would eventually deploy to the Pacific.
When I first got to Munford Point, I didn't know what it was. It was a camp outside of Jacksonville by the New River. All black Marines were there.
The first blacks ever allowed into the Marine Corps.
Yes. They were amongst the first. The first ones were in 42, but I was there in 1944. Okay. That's when I was there. Yeah. And we went to a place called Hadnut Point where the hospital was. And then we were told, when you go to Munford Point, we want you to survey the whole place. There was a doctor there. I think his name was Asher, Dr. Asher. He said, it's a swamp. It's mosquitoes there. The water's bad. Housing is bad. The food is bad. We want you guys to go over there and bring me back a report. And when I got over there, the guys were sleeping in wooden huts, dirt floors. Rattlesnakes would come in there. They had no windows. Mosquitoes would come in from the swamp. This was the pure swamps. Now, growing up in the swamps as a youngster, I knew what it was. And there were bears there. There were everything you'd want from a swamp was there. Skunks, all snakes, mosquitoes. All kinds of bugs that would come in. You'd think mosquitoes were bad, but they had little things smaller than them, like gnats. They would get all over you, ticks, and eat you up. When we got back to Dr. Asher, he said, well, we're going to clean up those swamps. We're going to clear it. We're going to get rid of the snakes. What they did, they built a latrine upstream from a well. Like, up here's a latrine, down here's the well. Everything from that would go down into that well. So the guys, most of those men had diarrhea all the time from that. And what happened was we had them reverse that. Then they brought in Quonset huts later on with wooden floors, metal things and screens. And we would inspect those once a week to make sure they were clean. There were no snakes, no spiders, nothing in there. That the men were clean themselves. We did short arms inspections at that time. Those men were sick, most of them. A lot of those men had lice. A lot of them had VD from the South because they didn't get any medical care. And the white corpsmen didn't give a damn about them. Just let them die. They didn't want them in the Marine Corps anyway. So what we did with Dr. Asher, and that's when I met Bobby Troop, Route 66 piano player. He was captain then. And Bobby Troop set up a band, fights. I tried to box and got knocked out, and I quit. But the thing was the music. I enjoyed the music and things like that there. Bobby Troop, what he did, he told us, says, you guys don't have to go to town to go to a theater. We're going to put a theater here on the base for you. You don't have to go through all that Jim Crow and racism. Because what had happened was a Marine from New York had gotten off the bus and went into the station there and asked. They had brought in vending machines for cigarettes. And he walked into the white side, not paying attention. They had signs up, colored white then. He went in the white side and threw a dollar bill at the lady and asked, say, sweetheart, can we change for a dollar? And she threw 4 quarters at him, and then she looked at him and then screamed. And then the police came and arrested him and took the guy and put him in jail. Now, word got back to Munford Point that there was a Marine in jail down there. So it got over to Bobby True, Sergeant Fisher, who was white, another sergeant, very liberal people. They didn't go for that discrimination because they weren't from the South. And they said, we're going to go get that Marine. 1,000 black Marines got in trucks with 50 caliber machine guns on it. And we went into town, in that little old town. The railroad track went right down the middle, this side, and that black people this side, white people this side. City Hall was on this side. And the police station was on that side. And we went down there. And we got down there. They were beating this Marine up. We arrested the whole police force.
Wow.
It was about eight policemen in there, the chief of police and everybody else, and took them back to Mumford Point and put them in the brig. Then all hell broke out from that. The commandant of the Marine Corps, he came over. What are you men going into town arresting police officers for? So we told him what he did. He said, we're not going to leave a Marine behind. What are you talking about? You're the commandant of the whole Marine Corps. Would you leave him behind? We had Tom McFadder at the time, Sergeant Thomas McFadder. He was the one who said, can't leave him there. Tom wrote a book called Caught in the Middle. And he became a Navy chaplain later on. But anyway, we took the Marine back, locked those officers up. The colonel just left us alone. They said, you guys go ahead and do what you're going to do. Just left us alone. And we kept those policemen in there for 5 days in the brig and on bread and water and turned them loose. And we told them, don't you ever mess with a Marine again. That's what McFadder told them. Don't mess with any of these Mumford Point Marines. Because people were spitting on them and just harassing them and treating them mean. Boy, where'd you get that uniform? You don't belong in it, and spit on them. They cut all that stuff, was cut out. But that was, to me, it was outrageous behavior. And I had never seen this. Here, I'm going to go fight Germans and Japanese, and here they're treating us worse than them because they had some German prisoners of war there. They treated them better than us. So that kind of got us. Later on at Mumford Point, another thing happened that's not written about, and that was the Royal Dutch Marines came to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. 5,000 of them. And these Marines had come from, I think they were over in North Africa someplace. When Hitler invaded their land, they went over there. Then they went to the Caribbean, and then they went through training. And they were there at Camp Lejeune to learn amphibious training, because they're going to reinvade where Hitler was and where the Japanese was in the Pacific. And what they said was the commandant, the Marine Corps, came and told the commandant of those Royal Dutch Marines, because they had 500 black Royal Dutch Marines. And he did not want those black Marines in Camp Lejeune. Told that commander, send those Marines over to Mumford Point. We segregate them here. That did not fly. That commander says, you don't leave a Marine behind. We're not going to leave any of ours. Those are our Marines. Where they go, we go. Now, if they're going to Mumford Point, we went. So 5,000 Royal Dutch Marines went over to Mumford Point, and we had a ball with those guys. I mean, especially, you know, after it had gone down to the beer hall and all of that, with the music and things, we had a ball with those guys. They stayed there for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they left. But that was an experience to see, and what it did to me, I said, my God, I'd write letters home to my mother and tell her about it. And she'd say, Robert, I'm going to tell you something. If people are going to be prejudiced against you, make them pay for it. Don't you ever forget them. Make them spend some money. That's the only thing they know is money. So that stuck with me throughout my lifetime. make them pay. If they're going to discriminate against you, make them pay. But anyway, a lot was going on there with the medical corps. The Marines got better. They got better treatment. They bowed out now to a corpsman. We were the first ones in line at the chow hall. They waited on us. When we went out on liberty, they gathered around us and just took care of us. We didn't have to spend one penny for nothing if we went out with those Mumford Pointers. So when we got overseas, they still rallied around the corpsman. And the corpsman had to look, there's about four platoons. Platoon had 40 men. And that's 160 men. We had to watch them, keep an eye on them. Something happened to them, you were there with them. And they knew that. The military part of what we did at Mumford Point was outstanding. The guys were expert marksmen with artillery. They were expert. Anti-aircraft guns. They had the 51st, 52nd anti-aircraft battalions. And one day they were shooting target practice. And they said, you guys are missing the target. And they said, no, we're not aiming at the target. We're aiming at the string. And then one shell went right and clipped the target. So that happened. In marching, if you ever watch the Marines march, you'll see a swagger that they got from the Mumford Point Marines, from Big Elmo. They put these men in ammo companies and supply companies, not in combat battalions. We all had weapons. If we had to use them, we used them. But we had all the food, all the medical supplies. We had all the ammunition. We had everything the Marines would want. And we brought those to those islands.
And you ended up on Guam, is that right?
I ended up there at Camp Wise at the medical dispensary on Guam. That was, we had a small hospital there. Then over, we called it Barracuda Village. Near the airfield up there in Agana, where the Marines were. That was the 51st and 52nd anti-aircraft companies up there. Later on, we had two black doctors. One was a Lieutenant J.G., another one was a full lieutenant. Alvin Lawrence was lieutenant. He was from Chicago. C.J. Jones from New York, from Brooklyn, he was Lieutenant J.G. They had some stories. I wish they were alive because they told me what they were up against as officers. A lot of the white sailors and Marines wouldn't salute them. And Dr. Jones went and put his hat on a post and told this Marine, if you can't salute me, you salute that hat. But he went through a lot. But if somebody, and he was a surgeon, and he treated a lot of those guys. And one of the things that they did, they carried segregation too far. They segregated blood. 1X for white, 2X for black, 3X for Mexican, 4X for Native American on the bottles. Wow. When blood is only A, B, and O, you know. And one time in surgery, I went and got, they were operating on this white guy. They needed blood, and they told me to go down and bring back some A blood. I brought back a bottle of A blood. I didn't know nothing about these X's. And it had two X's on it. And I handed it to the nurse. She dropped it on the floor. Broke it. And the doctor there operated. What did you drop that for? And she said, we can't give him, use the N-word, blood. Wow. And that doctor said, listen, blood is blood. I wanted A blood. Give it to him. I don't care what the X's are. It doesn't mean a damn thing. So, in the meantime, you had a hematologist named Charles Drew, Dr. Charles Drew, who invented blood plasma. The United States wouldn't use its plasma, so he took it to England. And when Hitler was bombing England, 1945, tearing it up, there was a shortage of blood. The Americans wanted to know, you have a shortage of blood over here? He said, no, we use Dr. Drew's blood plasma. And they said, oh, we can't use that. It's crystal. We can't segregate it. And they laughed at the American doctors for that. See? And then they started using it. And right then and there, they start using this plasma. And they took the Mexes off those bottles. And then Roosevelt died after that. When Roosevelt died and Harry Truman got in there, all sorts of things were happening in the armed forces, black troops, the army. You had Camp Van Dorn. You had Fort Bliss, riots. You had Port Chicago. And there was one up, Shoemaker, there was one up there. Tuskegee Airmen, there's one in Louisiana. All these broke out, and it started affecting the war effort. And Harry Truman says, we're not going to have none of that. We're going to integrate the whole thing. And I don't care if those Southern colonels and generals object to it. They could get the hell out. That's what they could do. So the whole thing got integrated in 48. So all of these things turned to, you know, being a citizen of being born in this country. And I said, now, sometimes I say, now, who do I really belong to? You know, I'm not going to say I belong to this group. I belong to that group. I belong to all of them. So that makes me 100% American with no hyphens.
World War II Navy veteran Robert Hammond, a corpsman with the famed Mumford Point Marines. You can link to his complete original interview at hometownheroesradio.com. And when we come back, a World War II veteran who experienced severe discrimination. In fact, he said it almost cost him his life, all born out of a case of mistaken racial identity. The thousands of people upon whom he would eventually perform heart surgery are awfully glad he survived. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.